Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, you young folk back there. Give God some praise.
Give God some praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's oh so worthy. Before I start, I'm going to pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, that I do not take lightly, Lord. Lord, use me, Lord, for the time that you allot, Lord, to speak, God, to your people and into your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Two places. So, go to Esther. Make sure I got the right one. 3. And then 1 Samuel 15. You want to get both places open. God is good. And I've been, knew this was coming, and for probably last month, God kept saying to me, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. So this is a twofold message. For such a time as this. And then he also told me the spirit of Haman is here. I'm going to explain both. Bear with me. Do a little bit of reading. So we're going to start with Esther 3. First verse. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Haman derives from, his name means to make a noise, to be tumultuous, roar, disquiet, trouble, cry loud, uproar, loud, mourning, raging, commotion, confusion, abundant noise, rumbling and making all the sounds. Oh no. My son gonna help me today. Oh no, right? So Haman's promoted to the seat by the king, and he loud and he boisterous and all the things. His heritage, he's a Gaetite, which comes from Agag. That kingdom was the first nation to oppose Israel in the wilderness. Stay with me. Centuries later, King Saul spared Agag. This is where I need to go to 1 Samuel 15. Stay with me. Let me get there. Start the first Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up to Egypt. Now go, directive, and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that he hath, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, and sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, and he numbered them. I'm going to skip down to verse. I'm skipping here. Go to verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Helaveh until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag the king. Now, time out. God told him to get rid of everybody. Everyone. Spare not nothing. Okay. And Saul smote and small. Where am I at? There we go. Number 9. And Saul and the people spare Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings of the lambs and all that was good. Okay. You see where I'm going there? I'm going, yep. Everything good for us. It looked good, but it ain't always good for us. God gave Saul a direct instruction. Get rid of it all. Because it came back to bite them later. Figuratively speaking. Right? And would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroy utterly. Then they came to the word of the Lord, number 10, unto Saul, saying, it repenteth me that I've set Saul up to be king, for he had turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night, simply because Saul didn't follow one simple instruction. I said, Lord, do we grieve you like that? Where you give us a directive, sometimes a very simple one, right? And he said, do it. He said, I repented. That made him king. He was sorry he did that because he ignored a directive. Keep reading. 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou, O the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So here's Saul saying, I did what God told me to do. No, you did not, right? We can't partially do what God tells us to do. There's no partial. We don't get to handpick. We don't get that choice because there's a consequence for that. 14, and Samuel said, what meanest then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep. There you go, blaming the people. And of the oxen to sanctify unto the Lord thy God, and the rest which we have utterly destroyed. So he's going to offer them as a sacrifice with the wrong intention. Because God told him, kill it all. Right? We can't give God the halfway sacrifice. He don't take that. Number 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Number 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, have I obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way the Lord would send me. He is hunkering down on that. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil. Sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which have been utterly destroyed, is sacrificed unto the Lord thy God in Gagal. Number 22, and Saul said, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better than to sacrifice, better to obey than a sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of the lambs. For rebellion is as a sin as witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and an idolatry, because thus has rejected the word of the Lord. He has rejected thee from being king. All because he didn't follow one thing and hunker down into, well, the people did it. And God showed me America. This is where we are. We knew God. We know God. Let me rephrase it. We know God. But we do everything under the sun. Killing the babies. Allowing same-sex marriage. All the things that are directly against God's commandments we've allowed in this country. The spirit of Haman has returned. Alongside with that comes pride. So I'm going to go back to Esther 3. Go to the second verse. So because Saul did not obey, it came back later. Because Haman is a descendant of Agag. Follow me? When God tells us to get rid of something, it's for our good. When God tells us to do something, it's for our good. Because sometimes when we don't do it back here, we pay for it over here. If we don't do it back here, we're going to pay for it over here. And that's exactly what happened to the Jews. Because Saul didn't obey, here they are in Esther dealing with the descendant that should have been gone. Right? When God say do something, we got to do it. Esther 3, verse 2. And all the king's servants were at the king's gate, bowed and reverenced Haman, because he's now been elevated to this place. For the king has so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then when the king's servants, which at the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou king's commandment? Now it came to pass when he spake daily unto him that he hearkened them not, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not nor reverenced him, Haman was full of wrath, came full of anger. Pride boasted up in them because Mordecai would not bow down. And America's in a place of pride. So where we are. So I think people feel free to do what they want to do. I've actually heard somebody say, I'm okay living in sin. That's terrifying to me. Those are the words that people are okay with, and they don't see where they are. That's how blind you can be, where you cannot see where you are. Full of pride. And we know where pride leads to. Destruction. We know where pride leads to. That's the first thing. And he sought, number six, then he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for he had shown people that Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So he becomes angry, full of pride, because he's now puffed up in this position that he thinks he's, entitled to. Everybody bowed down to him. And in irrational thinking, he decides he's going to eliminate the Jews. He decides that. The king approves it. Decrees are sent out in the languages of the people in the kingdom. Go to Esther 4. Lay some groundwork here. So then Haman sets his plan out. Because remember, we didn't get rid of him before. Okay? Esther 4, I'm going to verse 4. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried a loud, bitter cry because they've got news of Haman's plan. Where am I? Thank you. And in every promise, whithersoever the king's commandment decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing, that many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Weeping, stop there for a second. Weeping in the Old Testament means deep emotion. It's not as simple, where you cry. It comes deep within your spirit. It's almost like what I call a cry of desperation. And a couple weeks ago, God said, we must take a weeping and wailing for this nation. This is what I couldn't shake. We must take a weeping and wailing for this nation. That wasn't a one and done. That was continual. Because we see where we are. And if you don't, get your spiritual eyes on. Because we see where we are. It's a deep cry. It's a communal cry. So when they got the news, all of the Jewish people came together to do what they needed to do. Fast, weep, wail. They understood where they were, and they knew by doing this, God would attend to them. God would attend to them. Verse 4. So Esther's maids and chamberlains came and told it to her. Then the queen exceedingly grieved, and she said, raiment of cloth to Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther to Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend to her, and gave commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened unto him, and that the sum of the money that Haman paid had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave them the copy of the writing of the decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them, and showed it unto Esther, and declared it unto her, and it charged her that she may go unto the king to make supplication unto him and make requests before his people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatach and gave a commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants And the people of the king's provinces do know whatsoever, whether man or woman shall come into the king into the inner court, who is not called. There is one law that of his that should be put to death, except to which the king shall hold out his golden scepter that he may live. But I've not been called into the king for these 30 days. So Esther's in a place. She's in a place where she is not, she can't, she feels like she can't go before the king because it's the law. And then they told these words to Mordecai. They told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time," in other words, if you stay quiet, "then there should be an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And then I focused, zoomed in on that scripture. Who knows if you have come to this place for such a time as this? Kingdom in this place is your dominion of responsibility. Hear me out. It's your dominion. Esther was assigned to that place for a purpose. God does anything halfway, circumstantial. You are put in a position for a purpose. And it's your dominion, meaning your responsibility. You have sovereignty over that dominion. Esther's assignment to that time was to save her people. And she followed through. Like she had to go to the king, and he held out the scepter and he gave the decree. God, when you are in God's time and when you're in his kingdom and his authority, nothing you do will be out of place. Nothing. When you have you are given the authority in that realm assigned to you. Your position and your assignment is not yours. It's for the purpose of building God's kingdom. You are a tool and a part of the body meant to fulfill that point. It's meant to fulfill that assignment. You are an essential part of God's body. That is man, woman, and child. Man, woman, and child. We hear the young people praying. God's using the young. Man, woman, and child. You are an essential part of the body. It's for the purpose of the kingdom and the dominion that you have been put in. You have authority over whatever it is. Your job, your house, your body, your health, you name it, you have authority. It ain't come to you just because. If you came to it, you got to go through it, and God will help you get through it because you have the authority over it. You have the authority over it. This territory that you're in is not happenstance. I don't believe in circumstances. I don't believe in that. God has you there for a purpose. And sometimes we don't understand the purpose. We don't. But he does. You have authority over whatever that is. Take the authority in the dominion that you are in. You are given full authority. So when we look at back into verse 14 with Esther in her position of authority, she was given full authority to execute the plan. In other words, she was given full access to do what she needed to do to execute the plan and to get rid of her enemy for good. For good this time. She was positioned. You are in a position right now to call whatever it is, principality, demon, devil, whatever it is, out of this place, back to where it belongs, because God has given you authority right now to do that. If you get anything from that, for such a time as this, for such a time as this, you are called to do it, and God will put you through it. Your assignment is not for you. God, remind me of that. It ain't about you, Brittany. It's about my kingdom. If I put you there, it's for your purpose. It's for my purpose, not yours. I will get you through it. God uses who he want to use. Man, woman, and child. You are positioned for such a time as this. If you get anything, you are positioned for such a time as this. And the time is timing. And God needs you and your assignment. Because the time is timing. Put on your spiritual eyes and see where you are. See where we are. And take it up. Take up your assignment. Because for such a time as this, God wants to use you. You are it. Speak to myself. It's my assignment. And your assignment doesn't have to be this grandiose thing. It could be just cleaning up. Could be. Right. It could be when you walk in Walmart, God tells you stop and pray for that person. Your assignment could be your job. It doesn't matter. God has you in a place for a purpose for this season, for this due time. You weren't born in 1800. Well, I don't think I would have made it then. You weren't born in 1800. You were born now for such a time as this. And your purpose and your assignment is needed. So if you get anything from today's message, know that you have authority over Haman. You have authority over it. Whatever it is, you have authority. And God's going to take you through it and bring you to the other side. We can't skirt everything. Because we can't have a testimony without going through. We can't. What's the point of that? We have to go through some things. I think sometimes God's people think we exempt from everything. No, we're not. We're not. You're just God's child. He's going to bring you through it. Your assignment is needed. Whatever your assignment is, whatever God puts in your heart to do, it's time. For such a time as this, God's people, it's your time. God bless you.